Hey everybody, it's Norm Farrar, and we've got a mixed up episode today. You wouldn't believe what we've been going through with internet cutouts, logging out of StreamYard before going live. Anyways, I'm going to have Kelsey at the controls here, and hopefully it works. So, hey everybody, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Micro Brands. All right. So if you are seeing me live, I hope you are, because I have no control over this anymore. We are broadcasting to you live on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. If any of you are watching on a replay, just skip ahead. If you're watching on the profile page, you can always just jump over to the official Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy, and watch the whole episodes, video clips, and a variety of new content. And we post content every day. One thing, I just wanted to let you know that I do have another podcast called I Know This Guy. It's about interesting people I know and interesting people they know. We dive deep into their successes, their failures, what brought them, and the hurdles that they had to face to become a success. It's a great show, so check it out. It's I Know This Guy. I think that's it from my end. Now, Kelsey.
Yes, hello. It looks like go ahead.
I haven't yet curled up in the fetal position.
You're fine.
We are live, so yep. So keep us going, buddy.
All right. All right, and welcome Tracy from Australia. She says hi, Norm. Yes, everyone, subscribe to us on social media. You know the drill. We have Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. Any content that is up from Lunch with Norm goes directly to YouTube. So if you miss an episode or you want to see the full thing, you can always just head over there. We also put out short clips too. And we have an official website as well, lunchwithnorm.com. All the guest bios, everything you need is there as well. And all right, we are an official podcast, so subscribe to us on either Apple or Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. And hello, Simon.
Hey,
welcome
Simon.
Again. And I think that's it for me.
Okay. Did you tell me to smash likes or anything like that?
That's right. If you're watching right now, smash those like buttons. And yeah, enjoy the show, everyone.
Okay. So I think that's it for today's updates. What's really interesting, if you do watch our YouTube channel or if you look at our Facebook, we constantly are putting new content up, repurposing new content. And so it's really cool. The tool that we use, we have the CEO and founder of the company that we use, Hanny Mora, today from repurpose.io. And Hannah is, I met him through LinkedIn, and you know, we just got chatting over the last little while. He has developed the app that we use called repurpose.io. He's a softwarepreneur, I think the name is. And he's a dad. He has his pet sitting behind him. So if you hear him barking, just let him know it's going to be my dog knocking over lights or his. But anyways, we'll get to Hannah in a second. I'm really excited to talk to him and talk to you about it. I said to everybody the last podcast, you got to watch this podcast, because if you are not repurposing, you're missing out on very simple, easy way to create content and spread it effortlessly, especially with this app. So sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy the show. Hanny, are you there? Oh my God, it is actually working. Woo. StreamYard is working for us today. Thank you.
Love it. How's it going?
I've had better days, but it's going.
I see. The show must go on, and it's going. Yeah. So I'm excited to be here.
It was pretty funny, like 30 seconds before we were going to go live, I get booted out. You guys were left on. I couldn't even log back in, but we got around it.
It's all good.
So why don't well, you're a fellow Canadian, I know that.
Yeah.
Tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I live in Toronto, and I'm a big geek when it comes to video. And I have a software computer engineering degree way back in the day, and I'm a dad of two girls who I'm trying to get into coding and stuff like that as well. And we just got a new puppy a few months ago from, I guess, yeah, 3-4 months ago. And yeah, life is hectic. Life is crazy. But, you know, what we do at Repurpose and, you know, what I do, what I'm passionate about is creating tools that automate things in your life, especially when it comes to content. And that's what I'm really good at, is like creating solutions for content creators, podcasters, people who live stream, people who create videos. And, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of content you create. We love it. We love to help automate it and get it out to different social media platforms. And that's what we've been focusing on for, I think, 7 years now. If you think about all the tools we've created, I think I was looking at it, it was like seven years ago, we started creating our most basic tools. And, you know, we're here today with repurpose.io.
Well, I think when we first met, I reached out on LinkedIn and I was just saying that this tool that we were using made our lives so much easier, and that we found that with our clients. So with my managed services account, I have a bunch of clients that are Amazon sellers or Shopify sellers, and they really don't use social media to where they should be. And most of them are saying it's just too tough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, through our initial conversation, I was just saying, yeah, if only people knew how easy it is, first of all, if they could curate content, you know, to understand that, and then to just repurpose content. And I've talked, like, with my business partner in PR Reach, we talk about repurposing other forms of content, like images and press releases and blog articles, but we don't talk so much about video. Mm-hmm. And how easy it is. So I just thought this was perfect for you to come in and, you know, just tell everybody about, you know, repurposing and what it's all about. People might not know exactly what repurposing means. So why don't we start there?
Yeah.
What do you mean by repurposing content?
Yeah. So repurposing, in my definition, is taking a single piece of content, whether it's, you know, a podcast or an audio or video, it doesn't matter. Taking a single piece of content and turning it into multiple pieces of content that you can post on different platforms. So the goal is that you are visible on social, you're posting on social, you're scheduling content on social regularly, but you don't have this rat race of this tendency of, I have to create content every day, right? So repurposing is, the goal here is create once, publish everywhere. That's our motto, is, you know, our tagline is create once, publish everywhere. So we help take away the misconception that you have to create content every day. You don't. You can create content once a week and but still have content or pieces of that content out on different platforms through repurpose.io. And that's the goal, is to help you automate that step.
Yeah, I get, even last night, 9 o'clock, somebody was talking to me and they said, how do you do it? How do you, you know, mm-hmm. we see you on social media, you know, putting out like your face, right? And it's all Kelsey. Kelsey takes these clips that we're talking about today. He divides them up into, you know, smaller pieces, and he sends them out to different platforms at different times. We don't want to have, you know, one clip on 5 different platforms and everybody that's looking at it just, you know, gets hit with, 5 of the same thing the same day. So we spread it out and mix them up, but it's been so easy. And, you know, for anybody who's listening that, you know, wants to know more, get more detail after this, and talk to Kelsey about it, you know, we could point you in that direction, or of course we'll send you over to the repurpose.io site and you can talk directly with Hanny. But anyways, let's get into talking about the benefits. What are some of the benefits of repurposing content?
Well, the goal is to get exposure. Right? The goal is to be where your audience or your potential audience is already hanging out. Right. So if you do an audio podcast and, you know, your audience may not even know what a podcast is or how to find a podcast or even how to listen to a podcast, by having that content in its entirety or clips of it on social media where they hang out, whether they favor Facebook, whether they like Twitter, whether they like Instagram, it doesn't matter. You're going to be on all those platforms. So the goal is to make it easy for someone to consume content where they hang out, and also they consume the content, or, you know, see your face or hear your voice lost my train of thought, without leaving the platform, which is also important. So meaning we're not going on Facebook and say, hey, go to my YouTube channel to watch the video there. No, you want to put content natively, or you want to upload the content, the video, to each of these platforms so that as they're scrolling, they can pause and watch. And that's what the platforms want you to do. They don't want you to send people away. They don't want you to link to your site. They don't want you to link to other social media platforms. But also, as if from the user experience, if I'm scrolling, I want to see something. I just want to see it. Like if it's a video, I'm just going to pause and watch that video. I'm less likely to click any kind of link. So yeah, basically, you know, I said a lot of things here, but the idea being you want to put your content where your audience or your potential audience already hangs out. And if you don't know where they are, then the goal is to put it in as many places.
Now, you know, we're talking about a podcast, but for Amazon or online sellers, let's say that you have a product video that you've mm-hmm. done, or you've got testimonials. It could be like market review testimonials, or it could be a Zoom. You could go on if you have a Zoom account and just record yourself just going on about something. As for a podcast, so let's say something really like a lot longer, 30 minutes to an hour. Say you have that type of content. Well, the beauty of this is that Kelsey can go in and take, Hanny's going to say there's four tips or four steps to do this. We can zero in and be very specific. So when you go to YouTube or you search the internet, we've got that title that's being optimized to bring people specifically to those four points. And it's mm-hmm. so simple to do. And then try to add a transcript, like for search engine optimization on YouTube, on an hour-long video. It's not mm-hmm. going to happen. Try doing it on a two-minute clip. Now you've got, when you're putting in your description or your titles into YouTube, for example, you can have them fully optimized and searchable. So your specific audience, if somebody's looking right now at repurposing content, we're going to have four tips on repurposing content that's going to be up on YouTube, and hopefully it will be optimized really, you know, really soon, like within a day or two. Mm-hmm. But Hanny, what about, can you take us through the process, like break down maybe step by step what people have to do create a clip or put it onto multiple platforms?
Yeah, I mean, before we even jump into that, if you don't mind, I'm going to take one step back and just kind of talk about the strategy. You know, let's not talk about mm-hmm. the tools, because there's, you know, there's repurpose.io, or you can do it with a video editing tool. There's many ways to do it, but let's all kind of get on the same page here. And what have we been teaching our users and seeing what works best in terms of the most efficient way of creating content is to, let's say you create content. If you're starting to create content now, my biggest recommendation is to go live, like we're doing now. We're going live on Facebook. You can go live on multiple channels, we're doing here, but keep it simple. Go live on Facebook. Let's kind of simplify. So once you go live on Facebook, how do you turn that into, you know, 20 pieces of content? So live on Facebook, that's one piece of content. Send a copy to YouTube, that's another piece of content. And then take your 3 to 5 key takeaways, clip them out, you know, keep them around 1 minute short. And then you post those onto Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and maybe other Facebook pages that you have, or groups. And then the other thing is you want to turn your Facebook Live into an audio podcast. I mean, you can't do it all the time, but if the content makes sense and someone can consume it and listen in audio only, and you know, you're not sharing your screen and something like that, you're explaining concepts, then definitely there's no reason why you can't turn that into a podcast, an audio only podcast. So that's another piece of content. And then last but not least, it's your blog or your website. So you want to put this content in the video, embed the video from Facebook or the version on YouTube, either way, onto your own site. So someone who's not really on social, not looking on social, but is already a subscriber, is already following you on your email list, or already kind of following your blog, they can consume the content. So kind of, I'm going to sort of summarize it in 10 seconds. Your live stream can turn into a full video on YouTube, clips on social, you know, Instagram, Twitter, that kind of stuff. audio podcast so people can consume it on the go so that they can listen to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. And then last but not least, on your own site as a blog post. So those are like, that's the bird's eye view of the approach here. So that way you just focus on creating one content, one interview, one live show a week, and then you can turn it into all those different pieces of content.
One of the things that we do, we have a newsletter. So we'll provide different pieces of content within the newsletter. And then for our website, we'll take, we'll write something about this topic. And it'll be a lengthy, like 1500 word article. And then we'll embed just the clips into that as well. Exactly like you're saying. Mm.
Nice. Nice. Yeah.
And what we'll do, this is kind of cool. So if you're, hey, Amazon sellers, if you really want to get bang for your buck out of a piece of content, create your blog article, put the information in there. Then create a press release. Your press release with a different topic about, you know, the content marketing, or it could be your product, your whatever you're talking about with your product listing on Amazon. It could be a launch. It could be some research that you've done, and you write the press release. Well, guess what? Most press releases have a YouTube embedding, allows for YouTube embedding. So you can take some of the repurposed content, put it on there, make it relevant to your blog article and link it to your blog article. And now you're going to have links back to your Amazon page, links over to your blog article, which is also linking over to YouTube. So that's another way of doing it.
Nice. Yeah, there's so many ways to repurpose. I mean, we've been doing this for many years now, and we've seen people do amazing things and people do creative things. But what we teach, like in our course, is like when you sign up for our software, you get access to our course. It's to keep it simple, and you know, pick one main source, whatever you're comfortable with. If you're comfortable going live, go live. If you're not comfortable going live, but you're comfortable recording videos, maybe a Zoom recording you do with an expert or a testimonial with a client, whatever it is, do that. Record it and then upload it to Facebook, for example, upload it and repurpose it. So, or if you're not comfortable being on camera, then just do an audio podcast. Start with audio, and there's ways to convert the audio into a video so that you can share that out on social media as well. So pick a platform you're comfortable creating on. And my recommendation is to go live for sure. There's no editing involved. That's the best part of everything I'm talking about. The best part of going live, once you get over the jitters, which after doing it once or twice, you get over very quickly, is that you don't have to really edit the video. I mean, we're going to create snippets and clips. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But in terms of going live, you do a half an hour episode, 45 minutes, whatever it is, and then you're done. There's no like take one or take two. I didn't like how I said that. Oh, let me do that again. That's a killer. That's a time killer, right? We're not movie producers. We have a business that we run. We don't have time to be spending a whole day creating content. Boom, in an hour, we go live. The content is done. And then I have content for the whole entire week by repurposing it to different platforms. So that's kind of our goal. We understand that people who create content are not doing it necessarily for fun. They're doing it. A lot of them are doing it as a business. They have a business to run, so they can't spend full time creating content.
Great. And hey, I see Michelle Worthy's watching today. Hi, Michelle. How are you?
So, hey, Michelle.
One of the things I was wondering about, are there any really simple techniques that we can use to create content?
Yeah, for sure. Number one is go live, like I mentioned earlier, for all the reasons. Yeah. The other one is, I mean, in terms of content ideas, that's always another challenge people have. It's like, okay, all right, I'm going live or I'm going to record a video, but what do I talk about? What do I say? What do people want to hear? Right. So the idea is you want to, if you have an audience of some sort, an email list or a following on social media, then definitely, you know, reach out to them. Hey, find out what they want to hear about. But sometimes you can't do that. So the other strategy is go in and go to your existing website or existing videos you've already published and see which ones are kind of have the most engagement, which ones have most likes, which one has most views, and then create more content around that. That's another little trick. And then there's a last trick, but this is, I can't think of the tool right now, but there are a few tools out there that will help you find what people are searching for. I mean, like what phrases, what words are they searching for? Usually like, you know, how do I, you can even use YouTube, to be honest, right? As you type in, how do I repurpose, it'll kind of autofill things in this YouTube search bar. Those are like kind of the most, it's almost like a hint of what people are looking for on YouTube. So there are tools, or you can even use YouTube, or I think even the Google AdSense. Anyway, you can research tools, but the idea is there's tools out there to help you find what people are searching for. And then by creating content around those topics, then that just, that eliminates like the guesswork. You're like, okay, people are searching for this. I'm going to make a video to answer that one question. And that's another tip. Don't make a video that's trying to answer all the questions or diving deep into many topics. Pick a topic and then boom, focus on that. And from start to finish, here's the problem. Here's my thoughts on it. And here's some solutions to help you get around this problem. And those are the kind of videos that do well, especially on YouTube.
That tool that you were talking about, was it Ask the Public?
Ask the Public. That's the one. Exactly. Yeah. You read my mind. We're connected. Yeah,
it's a great tool.
Yeah.
So it really digs deep and it makes things so much easier. One of the other areas, again, online sellers, what do you want to do? Well, you want to find out what the pain points are, and checking out your competition. What are the negative reviews that are affecting your competition or the positive, and bring it and spin it the other way to show and work it against, not against, but work it in a positive light for your product.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah. Reviews, read about what people are saying or what people are frustrated with. And then, yeah, then highlight that or make or offer solutions to that problem. So right. Yeah, there's so many ways to create the content, but Ask the Public. That's a great tool. It's relatively new, and I remember playing with it when it first came out. When I first heard about it, and it was like, it gives you like a tree of all these like different avenues of different types of content you can explore by just typing in a couple keywords. It's a really great tool.
Yeah, there was another LSI. Anyway, I'll try to think of it, but there was another one for Amazon sellers, which shows what's linked to what product and what's frequently bought together. So you could also talk about products that are related to your product. Hmm. And that's, again, it's just another way. And also there's one of the ways that, like you were talking about going out on YouTube or going out on Google. Yeah, you could just type in, you know, any type of influencer or blogger that's in the niche. Take a look at what they're writing about. One of the things that we've done is there's a search string in Google, and I believe it's just I will find this out and post it, but it's just similar. So it's articles that are similar to, let's say you're doing bully sticks and something's on Purina. You can go and just put in the search string similar to this article, and it'll pull up a ton of articles that are related. And then you can just look at the bloggers and get more information about those bloggers and read what they're putting up. And then there's your content for, you know, for the month.
Yeah. And then, you know, you can always interview customers, like you think you mentioned it earlier, and then you can also interview experts in the space, right? If you're in fitness, you're selling fitness products, hey, interview an expert. There's something about interviewing an expert that gives you almost an authority, because hey, you're connected with this expert and you're bringing knowledge to your audience. So kind of by association, you become an expert in that field. So there's such a power in interviewing experts in your field. So that's another way, another type of content you create. I mean, obviously, sometimes it's hard to find an expert. I mean, not hard. It takes time to connect with an expert and bring them on your show. But it's definitely, you know, mix up the content. Some can be interviews, some can be you, some can be testimonials, etc. There are a couple of good questions here. I'd like to answer one from Michelle.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, this one here. I mean, yep. It's an interesting because, you know, I have daughters as well, and my daughter's 11 now, and since she wants to do videos and stuff, I always feel, you know, I was always nervous as a parent. You don't want your, especially young children, to get, you know, negative comments or just to put themselves out there. So we're very careful about that. But I think the follow-up question is to sort of let her be the face of the business.
Yep.
My opinion, it's going to depend on what kind of business you're in, but my opinion is, if you're doing a kind of coaching, consulting, if you're involved in the business and you interact with the clients, you should be the face of the business. People want to do business with people who they know. Like, they want to get to know you via video and then decide if they want to work with you. But if you're selling products, you know, maybe you can consider that, but if, depending on what kind of business you're in. But I would, you know, I try to associate myself with my products. Like, I put my picture on all the websites. I'm always the face, kind of quote, the face of the product. And I think that helps, especially, you know, when we go out, I go out to conferences and people see me, oh, hey, you know, recognize your face. There's something about a personal human touch to associate a person with a product, especially in my world where it's a software and people, you know, they don't really get to know the people behind that, the companies that build software. So
there's also a follow up, I guess, a comment from Sharon, helping out Michelle as well. So as a mother, I think that only you can answer this. Do you want your daughter out there in the online world at such a young age? Yeah. That's something only you can answer. So
yeah. Awesome.
Okay. So, and thank you, Sharon. And got to say hi to Sharon too. The people from Australia. Oh, Sharon, I forget you're in Europe now, but I just noticed that a couple of the listeners are from Australia. What are you doing up? You know, there is a replay, but one of the other things I want to talk about, using, again, we're not talking about your app, but content marketing, mm-hmm. video is one thing, then you've got your images and, you know, different ways of getting images and using those images. It's really, it's the Wild West right now on Amazon. Amazon wants us to build a community. They especially want us to build that community around a brand. I mean, that's one of the reasons why they put out Amazon Posts and Amazon Live. Well, how do you get that content? Okay, so you might be able to, you know, use an Instagram account and get people to tag, you know, using your product. You can grab that information. You can just use an app like Repost. Download it to your photos and then upload it into Post. You can have all sorts of influencer campaigns to grab product images, lifestyle. You can use images from your website and just get them onto Amazon Post. We talk a lot about Amazon Post because that is the social media platform to help build, if you're using your brand, followers now. I don't know if you've seen that on the new posts, but if they go through brands, they can actually follow. And whenever you are doing something or announcing something, you can announce it to your followers. But on the other side, a lot of people aren't talking about Amazon Live. They think it's complicated. They think it's like a really arduous task to do this. Well, guess what? Repurposing, you can take your testimonials, you can take these clips and just upload them. You don't have to be live on Amazon Live. You can take repurposed clips and just put them up there. And nobody, I guarantee you, nobody is doing this right now.
That's powerful.
Just a little. Wow. Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah. 1-2 punch. So images and by the way, so now with Amazon Live, has that follow button as well. And so you do get access to your customers once you announce anything. So if you're going live, guess what? They're getting a notification. So anyways, you can build your crowd. You can build your, and the other part to this, say you're repurposing this on social media. Well, with social media now, you can drive, Amazon's got your personal brand feed page, not only on desktop, but on mobile. So you can drive new traffic over to your brand feed page, which you can get them to like. And it also gives you the cutting edge, because if you think of an Amazon listing, everything's what everybody else has to do. White picture, white background, until they scroll down and they see related posts. Now you've got what looks like an Instagram post. It catches their eye and boom, now you've got a potential of, oh, and by the way, this is also on your competitors. So it's a free access to promote on your competitors' listing. So if they see your brand, they press on it, they're going over to your brand page, and you have a potential to get the impressions, but also convert them over to your brand. So just a couple of things about Amazon.
That's awesome. I didn't know that. I mean, for like video, just in general, like video is the most powerful way to connect with people, right? Connect with your customers, connect with potential customers. And then just knowing that you don't have to, just the idea of not having to create content every day, you just, you know, create a piece of content, chop it up into smaller clips and putting on different platforms, which is the whole idea of repurposing content. It's almost liberating, right? Because I used to hate the fact I see people posting videos every day and I'm like, how are these people doing it? Don't they have a business to run? Don't they have, you know, nothing else? How are they doing this? And then, you know, once we got into this repurposed app ourselves, we realized that it's not all about creating content every day. It is about publishing regularly. And if you can do it daily, it's still my recommendation to post daily, but don't feel like you have to create daily. You can take what we're doing now, for example, and this can be 20 pieces of content on five or six different platforms. Or people always forget, go back to your hard drive, go back to your Facebook page, see the videos you've done or your YouTube channel, go back. Hey, you've created content way back. Take that, download that, chop it up, and then put that on social media. You know, if it's still relevant, then you can still repurpose it that way as well. So don't think creation, think what can I do with what I have already or what I'm creating, you know, once a week kind of thing. This is my strategy is create once a week or maybe batch like four in one day, and then you have enough content for the whole month. Like literally four pieces of content give you content every day for the whole month.
Yeah. One of the things we like to do as well, you take a look at all the images that you have and, you know, what do you do with them? Okay, you can put them out as images on your, like on Facebook, for example, but they're images and you're really trying to get that pattern interrupt, especially if you're doing an ad. Well, how can you do that? And maybe you don't have video. Well, take a look at cinemagraphs and plotographs. It's so easy to create a still with a, let's say my Hawaii picture, like on my profile page, which I think Kelsey, you just changed. But anyways, you've got this, you know, three waterfalls in Hawaii. And all I have to do is basically drag my finger down a plotograph or a cinemagraph app. And now the waterfall has turned into motion. And, you know, people like when I was selling my mother soap, like for people in races, obstacle, right? These crazy people who love these racing in mud. But we had a campaign called Get Clean with Mud. And they were completely covered in mud, except the person's hair was just waving. And it got so much attention just because the person's hair was waving in the wind. And all I had to do was just take the magic wand, outline their hair, and now it waved. And guess what? I can use that for, again, repurposing. I can do it with a video. I can have different parts of the image moving. It's so easy to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the name of the game is repurposing, right? You use what you have, you use existing content. Don't feel like you're in a hamster wheel trying to create content every day, because that's not what people are doing. Well, they're posting daily, but they're not creating daily.
I know in our world, like e-com world, we get bombarded with shiny objects, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you would agree with this, but with certain apps. So let's say that you have that plotograph app or the repost app or like repurposing or whatever. Would you recommend taking a finite amount, put up the blinders, you know, for the most part, and just stick with those apps, become experts within those apps, and not worry about all the shiny objects that are coming at you for, you know, social media?
Yeah, there's always every week there's some new app out there that does something new. I totally agree. If you have an app, if you're using something right now to solve the problem, whether it's, you know, stitching images together into a slideshow, whether it's converting, whatever it is, whatever tool you're using, just keep using it. Because at the end of the day, it's going to be a ton of apps. You're going to be distracted, and you know, people are easily distracted with new products and new services. Just find what works for you. Just basically find what's the easiest way to create content. I mean, forget about tools. Like, pick a style. Hey, I like to do audio recordings. I don't like to show my face. I want to do audio podcasts. No problem. Pick your style: audio, video, or live. Those are, to me, like almost like the three. I guess, you know, images maybe could be another style. I'm not an expert in that area, but so pick a style that you want to use, the one you're comfortable with, and then go with that. And then say, okay, let's say I'm doing live streaming. Okay, what platform do I use for live streaming? Do I just go on Facebook? Do I go use something like a StreamYard like we're using here? You know, do a little bit of research, figure out what you're comfortable with, what's easy to use, and that's the key, easy to use. And then that's it, stick with it. I mean, it's going to be a new live streaming platform that's going to come out, and it may look better or look different, but it's like, why? At the end of the day, it's the content that matters, right? It's not about just jumping to different tools. No one's going to know or care what tools you're using to create this. Keep using what you're using and keep putting out content, and that's the key. So yeah, definitely shiny object syndrome is a problem, even for me too. I get like, oh, what's this? Let me check it out. And then I bookmark it, and then I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I? I don't need this. I already have a solution for this problem. I already have a tool for this problem. I use StreamYard for my live streamings. Why do I care if a new software comes out? Right? We easily get distracted. So yeah, pick a style, and then pick a tool that will help you create content you're comfortable with and it's easy to use, and stick with it until you have a problem, until this doesn't work anymore or it's limiting in some way, then you can consider it. But yeah, there's so much stuff out there that will do it, that will get you distracted for sure.
Yeah, and if you do happen to download an app on your iPhone, this happened to me, I'm sure it's happened to everybody, but get prepared to be bombarded by shiny objects, because the algorithm is going to hit you up the second that you download some sort of Photoshop app or whatever app it is. Now you're going to that's going to be in your feed. So just warning you, when we say, you know, try to put those, you know, the blinders up, you're going to get hit by all areas, especially when you start downloading apps on iPhone.
Yeah, for sure. But figure out what you want to do first before you try to research tools. Like, what's your strategy? Hey, video, live streaming, audio, images. Pick something and then find a tool and then go with that. And then, you know, the goal being you create it and then you'll be able to put it out on different platforms, right? That's, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, IGTV, whatever. That's the goal, right? You're creating content so it doesn't sit on one platform, it's able to be posted on multiple platforms. So that's why video is, the end result of a video is the best way to go. So whether, even if you're starting with audio, there are tools, including Repurpose and other tools, that can take the audio into a video format for you, so you can share that or upload that to your Instagram feed and your YouTube channel, etc. So everything really ends up as a video, because that's what these platforms want you to post and upload.
So I know we've talked about a couple of ways to reach more people, but are there any other ways that you think of that you can reach more people using content other than what we've already talked about? Or how can you?
I can't think of it. I mean, really the consistency, like what you're doing by posting content regularly, daily, even if you can. Again, don't be scared. You're not creating daily. You're posting daily. There's a difference. Is that you're training the algorithms for that social channel that, hey, you are someone who posts content daily. So the more you do it, the more like, oh, I mean, this algorithm is this channel, Facebook, for example, oh, this person's posting daily. I'm going to show more of their stuff. So, you know, if you post for a week, every day, you know, you may not see the instant, you know, results, but just the consistency of it. Well, it's like a training. It's like machine learning. You're training these social channels that, hey, this person or this page or this YouTube channel, whatever it is posting regularly. Just pay attention to them, because so, these platforms want content. They want you to post. The more you post, you're doing them a favor. So they're going to give you more love back.
So just to be clear, the more consistent you are with posting, the more promotion or the more weight you'll have with the different social platforms.
Okay.
Very cool.
Yes, that's it. And if you do it daily, awesome. Like, that's like the way to go. I've seen people post 3-4 times a day, like in terms of video content, and that's great. But to me, it's like once a day is manageable, with tools out there. You're scheduling content, of course. You're not always logging in every morning and uploading to Twitter and uploading. You schedule the content so that you have content flowing in, video content flowing in on a daily basis on all channels. That's the goal here.
When I was involved with social media years ago, the goal was to post multiple times a day. Mm-hmm. I've heard both, people say, oh, no, that's overkill nowadays. Post quality content once a day. What do you think about that?
I feel like Twitter is one of those platforms where it's like a quick snapshot in time. And mm-hmm. if you do it once a day, it's like it could disappear very quickly into the right. Twitter sphere, and you may not see it. So maybe consider uploading multiple times to Twitter. But again, I'm not an expert in like on the algorithms, how they work. I'm not trying to claim that. I'm just going based on what I hear and what's kind of the strategy. I feel that, based on what I know, once a day is plenty. It's already more than most people are doing, especially as video. If you're posting images and stuff, you can supplement like a video, and then later in the day, you can do another piece of content that's an image post, for example. You can do that. But I mean, from a video perspective, I think if you're doing once a day on each platform, once a day on Facebook, once a day on Twitter, once a day on Instagram, et cetera, then you're way ahead of everybody else.
Okay. Is there another question, Kel?
Yeah, so Gary V is a big fan of as much content as possible. Do you have any platforms you can recommend for max return on post?
Good question.
Like, which platforms to post on? I mean, I would stick with, it's kind of like the four or five basics, like the Facebook. I'm just looking at the icon here. If you do Facebook, YouTube for sure, from an SEO perspective. And then definitely Instagram TV, which are kind of linked together. Facebook. Now a lot of people are talking TikTok now. I'm not big on TikTok myself. I haven't dove into it. But, there are new platforms that are going to come out that will give you a lot more exposure when they're young, like TikTok, and it's still relatively new. But the more you can automate, the better. So I like stick with the traditional ones. I stick with LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and then IGTV. And the reason why I say IGTV is first instead of Instagram is IGTV gives you a little bit longer. You can go up to 10 minutes, but they also share the first 30 seconds of it or so to your Instagram feed, so all your Instagram followers can see your content. So that's why I say IGTV. But yeah, Pinterest is another one. I keep hearing a lot. I for the longest time, I didn't even know they did video. And I'm hearing Pinterest is a lot of video content, like native video that you can upload to it. Again, I'm not experienced with it, but definitely something you want to experiment with. Pinterest, TikTok, it's going to depend on, what are you doing, what your business is, where, your people hang out. But if you're not sure, I mean, at some point you're going to burn out. Like what are you going to be posting on everywhere? You're going to do a TikTok. And a lot of these don't have abilities to schedule. You can't schedule content. So you got to be there like click, 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 TikTok every day. I got to be like, it gets exhausting and you don't see the return. So the more you can automate and schedule out there, and then it might free up your time to do, experiment with, Pinterest or TikTok or maybe Amazon Live. Maybe you can speak, Norm, about that. I'm not very familiar, to be honest, but Amazon Live, I think it's relatively new, right? Just
yeah, it's weeks it's or fairly months new. ago. And not a lot of people are using it.
Which is a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is the perfect time to build your brand community, and repurposing this type of video content, even the full podcast, like what we're doing right now. If this was about a fitness product, a supplement, or whatever, and you uploaded that, you would start to get followers. One of the other things we had Mayan Gordon on, and if you missed that podcast, you should go back and check out what she says about TikTok. She's got, she talks about ways of getting influencers on TikTok to promote very, very inexpensively or free, because it really hasn't caught on like Instagram. Instagram, you can pay big bucks for influencers. I think she's got 2 million followers. It's crazy. But if you get a chance, take a look at that podcast, and she'll show you how to build content in the TikTok community.
Interesting. So
we're trying to do that, but Kelsey and I are in different parts of the world, and we found out recently that he can't edit. All these TikTok things I did are stuck on my phone, and he can't edit them. So, one flaw in TikTok. But you learn, right? So this is all this stuff is you learn. And like going live, you learn about live. You are going to screw up going live. Yep. I do it all the time. And, you know, after the first time or the second time in the fetal position, you just go for it. Even asking questions. I'm not a professional interviewer. You know, we just, if I make a mistake, Hanny's going to fill in for me. So
I'll tell you a quick, funny story. I was going live once. I did my live, and then I hit the end broadcast button, or at least I thought I did. And it said, "Are you sure you want to end your broadcast?" And I didn't see that message because I just thought I ended it. And the phone rang. It was a pizza delivery person, and I'm having a conversation with them because they're lost. And it's all live in front of everybody here. And that's okay. And that's the cool thing about live is that it's live, and it's like, it's human. It's real. Like, it's, this is how it is. And, you know, some people may not like that, but some people, a lot of people do. I just feel a connection with you, the person behind the live stream, that you're not this big corporation that's hiding behind this cameras and lights and, you know, everything's fake and staged and prepared. It's just, you know, we're real people having real businesses, selling real products and services, and you get to know us, the people behind it. And so there's a nice authentic feel to going live. And like you said, people make mistakes, and you do make mistakes, and you will, but the key is you keep pushing through, and you don't make that an excuse not to create again.
Right. Yeah. Just push forward. Are there any mistakes or anything to avoid when going, when creating content?
Avoid one of my pet peeves, and I see people do it sometimes, it's you're creating content, you're not focused on what you're on the topic, like especially on YouTube. Especially on YouTube, it's because people go in for solutions on YouTube, the platform. People are searching, hey, how do I fix this window on my Honda, whatever it is that they're searching for. How do I this or how to this? So my pet peeve is when you land on that video and this other person is talking about this, and then it's kind of diverting into different things, and it's like, well, I came here to learn how to fix this problem. You're not telling me this. I'm out of here. I leave right away. So my tip here is, if you're doing these type of videos, A, stick to the topic, pick one topic or one pain point of your customers, or pick one problem you're trying to help with or give a solution for, and then like stick with one, but also say that right in the beginning. You say, hey everyone, my name is Hanny Mora, in this video I'm going to show you how to do this, this, this. And then say, okay, here's, you know, three tips for repurposing your content. And then jump right into the solution, and then elaborate a little bit, go deeper into it. So give them the answer right away.
Great.
Don't like tease them. Don't keep them like hanging. I know you want people to watch the rest of the video, but if you're building this relationship where it's like, hey, I'm going to make you watch me ramble about something else and then give you the answer at the end, you're not going to build a good relationship. And people are not going to come back and watch more videos of yours. If you come in, I'm going to show you how to do this. Here's how to do it. Use this tool, do this, do this. And then keep rolling. Obviously you want more content, so keep talking, diving deeper about the topic, but kind of say the problem, say the answer, and then roll with it. And I think that helps. And then you can also use another tip. I know you asked for mistakes. I'm kind of flipping it around to say some tips. if you know you're creating content, especially it's long content, and you know you're going to repurpose it, like you want to, you're going to cut it up into smaller clips and share. I learned this trick pretty recently from one of our customers, actually. And basically saying, let's say, you know, we have three, in this video, I'm going to show you three different ways to repurpose your content. And then I would say, okay, first way is put your content onto a blog post. And I'll talk a little bit about that for a minute or two. And that's the second way is to go to YouTube. So I kind of like list almost like the table of contents and talk a little bit about, you know, each of those bullet points. And the reason why you do that in the beginning is so that you can go in and easily clip those out and repurpose them to as teaser clips on social media. So you don't have to necessarily watch the entire video to pull out some clips. You can kind of, especially if you're doing a solo video, a solo live stream by yourself, you can list it all in the front, and then it makes it super easy for you to pull out those 1 or 2 minute clips right off the beginning without having to rewatch the entire hour long. So that's another tip I learned, and I like that a lot. It saves you time. But you need to be aware that when you're creating content, it's not going to live in one place. I'm creating content with the intention of putting it into smaller clips, with the intention of posting it to multiple platforms. So I almost designed a structure of how I deliver my content to make that cutting it up to pieces a lot easier for me.
Very good. That's a great tip. Kelsey will be talking about that after the podcast. It looks like Simon has a question.
Yeah, I'll read it. We all love live stuff, and that's why live sport and music is so huge. I guess that now we can't see sport and music. We are all looking for alternatives. Lunch with Norm is the perfect substitute.
Oh, and nice. You know what? I really didn't see that, but thank you. Thanks, Simon. Okay, so we're at about 50 minutes here. Now let's talk about, like, are there any final takeaways? And then I want to talk a little bit about repurpose.io.
Yeah, I mean, I won't say new takeaways, but let's kind of like a recap. A, create content with the intention of knowing that you're going to repurpose it and put it to different platforms. And that's good because especially when you go live and haven't done it before, you may get discouraged when nobody shows up to your lives. You're like, oh, why am I creating this content if nobody's going to consume it? The good news is you don't care if anybody shows up in the beginning. And not you don't care, but you're not as affected by it because you know this content is going out to Facebook, is going out to Instagram. You're going to chop it up into little clips on Twitter, LinkedIn. So you know there's going to be way more life to your content. So you're not discouraged if, you know, one or two people or nobody shows up when you go live. So that's number one, is don't be discouraged because your life, your content lives way beyond the initial creation. And then number two is just practice makes perfect. Like, you want to get in the habit of creating content once a week and then get in the habit of repurposing it to different platforms, meaning putting it onto different platforms, because it's a waste to have a nice video, even if it's like 2-3 minute video. It's a waste just to post that video on one platform. I mean, you're missing out on another potential audience that had never heard of you. But I can discover your content on different platforms because they don't search on YouTube, they won't find you. Right. So you want to be on Facebook, you want to be here and there. And then last but not least, if you don't have an audio podcast, I think it's one of the like almost powerful but most underrated tools out there. So you think, oh no, I have to create more content for my audio podcast. No, you don't. You can take videos that you're doing and turn them into audios and upload them as podcasts. So take advantage of the audio podcast. There's a lot of opportunity there that you could be missing out on. And it's not that difficult because you're not creating new stuff. Obviously, you're repurposing what you have.
Right. Okay. Thank you, sir. Tons of content. And we'll be posting tons of content from this podcast on content. So
it's like the Matrix within the Matrix.
There we go. All right. I love your app. I have nothing to do with your app. I don't accept any type of affiliate fees. I don't get referral fees. I love your app. And if you don't mind, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So as our app is a web app, like it's a login with your web browser. And the goal is this, the steps are this. You connect your social media platform. So you connect the YouTube channel, click a button, hook up your Facebook channel, your Twitter account, you know, whatever you want to repurpose to. And then you start making rules. And a rule is simple. Say, I want to take a content from this platform. I want to do something to it, some kind of action. And then number three is I want to send it somewhere else. So for example, I want to take my videos from Facebook, my live streams from Facebook. I want to convert them into audios and I want to upload them to my podcast host. That's one example. Then you can make another rule that says, hey, take a video from my Facebook page, turn it into a vertical video, and then burn in some captions on it. You can design what it looks like and then send it to my Dropbox folder because I want to, you know, schedule that to Instagram. I want to go from an audio, convert to a video, send it to YouTube so I can have my audio content on YouTube. It's very rule-based. We have a course that gives you some recommendations and walks you through how to set up all the different rules. But the goal, the idea is once you set up these rules, you can decide, hey, for this rule, I want it to be automatic. So just turn on the switch. Hey, it's automatic. Every time I go live on Facebook on this particular page, I want you to send a copy to YouTube. Boom. You don't even need to log into our service. It does it for you automatically after you're done. So after you're done live streaming. Some rules, you go in, let's say you want to do clips. You have the ability to kind of drag a slider here, drag a slider here, create a clip, and then just hit the button to schedule. Say, all right, I want this clip to go out on YouTube on Monday. And I want the second clip to go out on Twitter on Monday. And I want the third clip to go out on LinkedIn on Tuesday. So you have the ability to schedule, to trim content, like pick little clips of them within our tool and have them scheduled out to multiple platforms. So it's hard to, it may sound hard the way I'm explaining it, but it's really a rule-based system. It's really kind of, it walks you through. The best way to do it is to try it. We have a free trial. That's what we have a free trial, is to kind of experience it and publish 4 videos yourself to get a feel for how it works. Because it's a huge time saver. Not only does it do the create these videos for you, the vertical, the square, the captions burnt in, the headline on top, all that good stuff. If you want that, it will do that for you, but also it does the uploading for you. Meaning you can schedule a content so that on Friday morning, this clip goes out to YouTube. You don't need to log into any software or have someone on your team or yourself go to your phone and, oh no, I have to upload it. Nothing. It just happens automatically. We can do uploads to LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, etc.
That course, if I remember when we first started using it, it's a free course, isn't it?
Yes, it's a free course. Yeah.
Yeah, and it just gives you some ideas about content, similar tips to what we had, how to use the app. So, and I know, Kelsey, if you want to come on for a second, you use this all the time. How much time does it save you?
Oh, so much. And it does, like when you first log in, you kind of get a little intimidated thinking about all these workflows. But after, like, your course does an excellent job of walking you through, and it really is simple. You set it up once. You can modify it too if you want to change something. But yeah, I highly recommend it. It saves so much time and yeah, it's great. I love it.
Yeah. So if you're on the fence, getting into content marketing, there are tools available. If you just wanted to do something very simple, go ahead and try it out, on your own, not using this. And then you can check it out. There's a free trial and see if this is something you want to get into. If you schedule it right, or if you get a VA to do it, you'll get that exposure. We're all fighting for exposure, especially in fourth quarter. And by getting more impressions, either through Amazon posts, give you an example, we had one post on Amazon because we have so many competitors that we're on now. We had over 200,000 impressions on one post. We have an average with my one client of around 20,000 impressions, which probably turns into, I just hit my volume here. I hope this is okay and I'm not blowing away everybody's eardrums, but it turns into roughly 5,000 clicks over the period of the month that we're doing, which are all people who are, you have to click 4 times on Amazon posts. Every time you click, you drop about 50 to 75% of your audience. The only people that have the final click through, which the reports show, are people determined to see your product or to buy your product. And you're probably going to be getting conversion rates of about 30 or 40%. I don't know because they don't publish it. But if you start this off the very first time, take a look at what your conversion rate is at the beginning. And then take a look once you start Amazon posts on a regular basis, and you're going to see a jump in your conversion rate. So these are the things that you can do to drive external traffic to your product during fourth quarter, which now is the time to do it. And that's why it was so important to get Hanny onto the podcast today. So,
Yeah, just one thing. So for the course, it's when you sign up, right?
Yeah, if you sign up for free trial, it's at the repurpose.io. You'll get in the welcome email, you get a link to the course. It's a free course. Or you can also sign up for the course directly if you go to repurpose.io/blueprint. That will send you right to the course. So the course covers a lot of stuff. We start about content creation all the way down to like tips and tricks for creating content, some like tutorials on how to live stream, how to podcast, some like, but there's a very important section kind of halfway through called distribution. And that's where he walks you through how to set up the repurpose.io platform to really optimize it. And does it step by step. Here's how to go to Twitter. Here's how to go to this. And here's the recommended size. And here's the recommended snippet versus this versus that. It walks you through video by video. And it's free.
Very good. Okay. I think that's it. We said it'd be 45 for you, Hanny. Mm-hmm. We took it up to an hour. I hope you don't mind.
No problem. No problem. I can geek out all day.
Very good. Look, this was packed with information, tons of content. So people, I mean, if you are going into fourth quarter, check this out. I can't push it enough that you need to get other types of external traffic, and this will build, and it's absolutely super simple, or I would not be doing it. Hanny, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me here.
Okay, and one more time, where can people get a hold of you?
You can check out the Repurpose platform at repurpose.io. And if you want to connect with me personally to say hi, ask questions, you can hit our site. Hit my site, hannymora.com.
Very good. All right. So I hope everybody enjoyed the podcast today. The whole episode can be found, and shorter clips, repurposed clips, can be found on Norm Farrar, a.k.a. The Beard Guy. And that's our Facebook page. If you want to see the videos, you could check out our YouTube channel at Norm Farrar. And we upload new videos, new content every day. Also, we have a newsletter. The newsletter does not suck. It has tons of content on it. It has new articles. It also has repurposed clips. But we add every Monday all new content right from Amazon, online marketing, digital marketing, new brands, what they're doing. So we're trying to give the user, the online user, a better knowledge on how to build their online stores. So I think that's it. Kelsey, where are you?
Hello, hello. And thank you, Michelle and Marina, for stopping by, and Forensic Detectors. You guys have been great with all your input of today's episode. If you haven't yet, please like this video. You can share it to your friends, maybe tag someone. That'll do us well here at Lunch with Norm. We are an official podcast, so you can find us at Apple, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts, you can find Lunch with Norm. And yeah, as Norm said, any of the content you see here goes directly to YouTube using repurpose.io. And I just want to say, as someone that uses repurpose.io, it is awesome. If you're looking to repurpose content, I highly recommend them as someone who uses it pretty much, I would say, every day. So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed the show, everyone. And okay. That's it, I think.
So Friday's episode, we're going to be joined by Feedback Wizzes Henson Wu, and we're going to be talking about Amazon's new communications policy. So I recommend tuning in on Friday. completely selfish, you know, I'm completely selfish about this, but it's going to be great content. There have been some major changes in the communication policy. Henson's going to explain it all. All right. So please join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to our next podcast and joining you all then. And well, thank you for watching, and we'll see you soon. Mantra.